Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Welcome to This Song Is Yours. We're a music podcast that chats to artists, musicians and creatives on their songwriting craft and upcoming projects. I'm your host Simon Fink and welcome to episode 298. Fresh off releasing their stunning sixth record a few weeks ago, Luca Brasi joined us on the pod today. We've got guitarist Patrick Marshall joining us to talk about the brand new record, which is titled The World Don't Owe You Anything. Before we get to our chat with Pat, please make sure you subscribe to this pod on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever app that you use, and follow us across all of our socials. Details for all can be found within the show notes of today's episode. Our guest today is Luca Brasi. The alternative rock four-piece hailing from Tasmania have been winning hearts across the country since their inception back in 2009. Known for their heart-on-their-sleeve lyrics and inspiring melodic riffs, the band has toured with artists like Alexis on Fire, Turnover and Violent Soho. They've also been attributed to inspiring the local music scene in Hobart by various musicians from Tasmania, including artists like Cat Edwards and Maddie Jane. A few weeks ago, they burst back into our lives with their sixth studio record, which is titled The World Don't Owe You Anything. Fresh from their recent acoustic tour, guitarist Pat Marshall joins us on the pod. In today's episode, we're going to talk to Pat about the introspective theme on this record and some of the songwriting behind it. We discuss Pat's role as the engineer for this record and how he found the role differed to being part of the band. We also talk about the future of touring for Luca Brasi and when we can expect to see them playing some more shows. The World Don't Owe You Anything is out right now, and we've left links in the show notes for you to purchase the record. We also want to say a massive thank you to Amy from Deathproof PR for her help with today's episode. Here is our conversation with Luca Brasi. Welcome to This Song Is Yours, Patrick Marshall from Luca Brasi. Patrick, hello. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Simon. Thanks very much for having me on the show.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. I very much appreciate it, as it's an incredibly busy time for the band at the moment. There's a brand new album out in the form of The World Don't Owe You Anything. Firstly, congratulations on the album.
Oh, thank you very much. Feels great to have it finally out with the world.
I can only imagine how long... how long have you guys been working on this record? Are you guys a band that will jump straight back into the studio after a record kind of comes out?
I reckon we usually start probably about 6 months after the record comes out. Usually you kind of finish the album and then you're kind of exhausted of all creative ideas and then you kind of get into the touring cycle. It's generally not until that kind of main album touring cycle's over that we start to get back into writing new music. So I'd say... took about 2 years to put together, but so it's been maybe about 3 years since the last record came out. So there was obviously a bit of time before we started on the latest one.
Of course. Well, it's a fantastic album, I do have to say. It is the...
Oh, thank you.
Of course. It's the sixth record from the band, I think. How has the release of each album kind of changed for you and the guys? Is there something... Is there a tradition each release day that you guys kind of use to celebrate?
Yeah, we always turn into a bit of a thing. We're generally away from when the record comes out, so we usually like to take ourselves out for a nice champagne breakfast somewhere
nice.
To celebrate the launch. So, yeah, that's generally the tradition, go and get a nice brekkie and just have a glass of bubbles to celebrate.
I think it's a very nice and classy way to do it without overdoing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
This record, it is a, I don't want to say atypical, it is very much in the vein of Luca Brasi. It is a beautiful kind of a showcase of what you guys do best. I wanted to talk to you today both about the songwriting, which we'll get into in a little bit as well, but I know that you engineered the record as well, and I wanted to kind of touch on that to begin with. I guess, is this your first time engineering a record?
Yeah, this is my first time engineering a full record. Like, we did bits and pieces on the last one, but we had a bit more outside help with the drums and things like that. But this time around, basically, we did everything ourselves apart from the mixing and mastering. So, yeah, we pulled all of the tones and recorded all of the tracks ourselves this time around. So, yeah, a pretty daunting experience, but it's also a lot of fun at the same time.
Of course, I guess, I'd be very curious, I guess, in terms of the experience, as you said, somewhat daunting, but does it not break a fourth wall, but I guess does it change your perspective on some of the songwriting when you're then having to also contribute to I don't want to say external factor, but something that's not necessarily just within the music-making aspect of the band?
Yeah, I think it can lead to some interesting results because I think a lot of the time just by playing around and trying to get the right sounds and tones, you inevitably come up with extra parts or something for a song at the same time. Like maybe you're messing around with a particular delay pedal or something and you go, oh, what if we just added this here? So I feel like if you're doing it all yourself, there's a bit of a tendency to kind of play around a bit more and build up songs, so you can end up with these quite textured layers within each song.
100%. Is it something that you would, I guess, that you're looking to do more of, whether it is with the band or externally as maybe like a side thing for yourself?
I'd love to make more records, but I'm a bit time poor, unfortunately. This Brasi one took me a very long time and I'd love to do more, but yeah, I don't think I could commit for another band, to be honest.
No, look, I can very much respect that. I can only imagine kind of, again, with everything that you guys have going on, kind of juggling that and then that externally, I can imagine, yeah, it might be a little bit difficult. So I look forward to maybe seeing what does happen in the future.
Yeah. I'd say we'll definitely keep making the Luca Brasi records ourselves from here on in. I can't see why that would change unless, yeah, some other opportunity came along.
100%. I think it was in early 2021, we had the pleasure of having Thomas from Luca Brasi on the podcast.
Oh, did you? Yeah, fantastic.
In support of Everything is Tenuous. And we had a chat in relation to the making of that record and how, I guess, COVID had an impact on some of the songwriting and how it was recorded. This time around, I know we said 6 months out from that previous record, was there any kind of remote recording remnant kind of left over, or were you guys able to get back into a room to be able to write and play this one?
We tend to not write together anyway these days. So generally how the songs will come about, either Tom or myself will come up, I guess, with the riffs and the main structure for a song, and so get the bones of it together, and generally we'll flesh out basically a structure of a song before it's even presented to the band. So I might bring a song kind of 80% finished to the guys and say, hey, here we go. Tyler, have you got any ideas for vocal melodies? Or Tom, is there anything you think? And vice versa with the songs Tom writes. So it's not very often we actually sit down together in a room as a band and write a song. That being said, when we do get Tyler around to start working on vocals, when he brings the lyrics in, we do kind of workshop that quite a lot together. So that's together. But, yeah, we're not really in a room jamming out a song so much. It's more, I don't know, maybe it's just we work better that way, or maybe it's just because it's easier to do it when the inspiration comes, to just jump on it yourself and flesh it out that way.
Has that always been the process of the band?
Pretty much, although I must say some of our probably more popular songs have come around either at a band practice or something when someone's just been mucking around. It's like, hey, what's that? And then, like, I remember Anything Near Conviction started like that. Tom was just playing around with that riff. It was like, oh, what's that? And then I just threw the lead riff over the top. And I also remember The Clothes I Slept In that was a sound check somewhere, I think, and I was just mucking around and came up with that riff. So, yeah, mostly it has been, but there has been the odd occasions. Sometimes they work out to be the best song, so maybe we need to change the process.
It's funny you mentioned sound check, because we've recently had a few acts on where it kind of appears that the I want to say almost like the freedom of sound check, in terms of you're not sitting down with the intent to try and create or try and compose, that you're literally mucking around, just noodling things out in a way when it's sound check, and then that's when some of the best ideas just kind of seem to appear and form.
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly what happens sometimes. You know, maybe it's taking a while for the sound engineer to get all the sounds going, or something's not working. So you've always got dead time there, and you've probably already got the guitar slung around. So yeah, you just noodle around, and every now and then just a little piece of magic comes out.
That's awesome. I love those kind of organic stories. I would love to know, Pat, I guess your introduction to music and writing music, and where you kind of got your start in both writing riffs and melodies, but I guess is it just Tyler that writes the lyrics for Brazzy by himself, or is there contributions from you guys as well?
Yeah, no, he definitely writes all the lyrics. He's such a good lyricist, and I'd hate to try and put words into his mouth. Like, every now and then we might have a suggestion, what, maybe change this word or change this phrasing, but he'll come basically, you know, with his phone full of notes of lyrics essentially. We do flesh out the melodies together, but, yeah, the words are certainly all of his, and he does such a great job of that.
That's awesome. I got sidetracked then. I'd love to know about your start in terms of you writing music, and kind of how you came to be the guitarist within the band and writing those melodies and riffs.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Yeah, so I guess like most people, started playing guitar in primary school, I think, and then we had a really great music teacher at our high school where we grew up, who really encouraged everyone to just play in bands. So Tyler and myself and Danny actually played in a different band together when we were in high school. Tom was a year younger than us, so he wasn't in our band. At that stage, he was just playing Blink-182 covers and anything
else that was going on at that time.
Yeah, anything we could manage to play. And then we did, even in high school, I felt like we started to write the odd song. Like, they were obviously terrible, but we started, like, writing a few riffs and things like that. And then when it got to year 11 and 12, like, our high school only went to year 10, so either had to move to Hobart or move to Launceston, and some of us went to Hobart and some of us moved to Launceston. So that band kind of ended at that stage. And when Tyler went to Launceston, him and Tom started Luca Brazzi. I was down at Hobart in the time, and then I joined a few years later, essentially. So they already had one record under their belt before I joined. But I was lucky enough on that first record, they got me into sing some harmonies on that record, because they didn't have anyone doing backing vocals at that stage. So I am still on that record, but I didn't play any guitar or write any of the songs. And so it wasn't until, I think, by a thread, maybe there's one song I wrote on that one. And then Extended Family, I wrote Aeroplane, and that was kind of my first big song for the band. And then it's kind of just built up and built up. Like, it used to be Tom would probably write 90% of the songs, but now it seems to be a bit more of an even split between us. And I think we balance each other out quite well as well, because he comes at it from a much more technical perspective, and I come at it with a much more simplified perspective. And I think too much of either of those probably isn't a good thing. So if I write quite a simple song, he might be like, hey, what if we just throw this chord in here, and all of a sudden it makes it much more interesting. Or other times he'll come with a song and he'll just have got completely stuck with where to go. I say, oh, why don't we just do this? And something really simple, and it kind of brings it all together. So I feel like we complement each other quite nicely.
I do love that. I think that Luca Brasi's music, this album and previous work, has always been very distinctive, and not just in the way that it sounds as in, you know, like the vocalist's own vocal tone, but in terms of like how the songs kind of flow, the chord progressions, the cadences, things like that. So it's interesting to hear, I guess, the process is, I guess, like a more technical and then a more simplified, and then it's just the melding and the meeting of the two minds in that way.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it'd be interesting. Like, obviously, I can tell very easily which ones I've written and which ones Tom's written, but I'd be interested to know if other people can figure it as well.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll come back to you after today's interview, and we'll
see if you can figure out which ones I wrote on the new record.
Well, I was going to highlight one, and I'm given the opportunity now, I'm not sure if I've picked the right one. I wanted to talk about a song that stood out to me on the record the most. You can let me know whose song that it might have been. It was the track Losing, which I thought was a brilliant track on the record. It was one about, what was it? I think it's the passage of time and just the inability to kind of return to some of those memories. I was going to ask if we can maybe go and have a look at the creation of this track and the inspiration behind it. But firstly, is it a Patrick song or is it a Tom song?
That one's a Tom song.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
That's totally fine. I was still quite heavily involved, so I'm happy to talk about that song.
Fantastic. Thank you for letting me ask that. I guess, can you take us behind the creation of this track?
Yeah, I think I'm just trying to remember back to how that came to be. I think originally Tom had that riff for the intro and the verse, and I think mostly the chorus, but I think it was quite a bit slower to begin with when he first brought it to us, and probably quite a bit cleaner. And I felt like on the last record, we definitely tried to make an overall theme and vibe for the record. We were trying to go for that 90s kind of Goo Goo Dolls, Jimmy Eat World kind of vibe. Mm. Whereas this time around, wanted to make it a little bit lean into each song a bit more. And I felt like maybe the last record probably could have done with a little bit more tempo changes and things like that. So this one, I reckon we probably bumped it up by about 10 BPM, which was quite a bit. So it's quite a lot faster than it was. And then made the guitar tones quite a lot heavier as well. I think from where it started to where it ends, like the structure is pretty much the same. I don't think really much changed at all. And we were working with Ben Stewart, did some production work with us on this record. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely know we sent him this song, and I think this is one of the only songs he kind of came back and said, I don't really have any ideas to the changes, to how to change this song. He was kind of like, I think you've kind of nailed that song. So that was interesting, because some of the other songs he sent back, some quite different cut-ups of them, but this one kind of really stayed the same. So I think the only thing that really changed was the tempo and maybe just the aggressiveness on it. And I think actually now I'm thinking back, we also changed the key of the song too, because it was quite low in Tyler's register, so it was hard to get a lot of energy out of it. So I think we might have just thrown the capo on a couple of frets up just to bring it up a bit in the vocal range.
That's awesome. I do love that song. So thank you for sharing that kind of behind the scenes look at it.
No way.
I'm fascinated by, just before you mentioned, and I think that maybe having a listen to Everything is Tenuous, there are certain influences that you just mentioned then that I maybe wouldn't have gotten to myself in terms of like Goo Goo Dolls and definitely Jimmy Eat World, but maybe Goo Goo Dolls I wouldn't have gotten there. I'm curious, with each record that you guys record and write, do you have certain sonic influences that you're wanting to utilize with each record, or is it just kind of what you happen to be listening to at the time, or how do you kind of pick what's going to be a reference point for the record?
Yeah, I think previously we have, and maybe it was because maybe Tom was doing a lot more of the writing at that stage. He always had a very clear vision for what he thought the record would be. And I think it's also a bit of a luxury too, depending on how many songs you can write. So perhaps in the past we might write, 18 or 20 songs, and maybe we'll finish 15, and then we can kind of choose what are the best 11 or 12 songs and what fits that vibe the most. And I definitely know the last record we made that decision to kind of lean into that 90s vibe. That was a very conscious effort. This one, I'm not sure if it was just because we didn't have that many songs, to be honest. I think, we were writing slowly. Everyone had a lot on. So it's kind of like if we get a song, it's basically going to go on the record. Otherwise, it's going to be a very short record. So maybe that's why it's a bit different this time around. All of my writing, I reckon I steal so much from bands like Jimmy Eat World. Like, there's so many reference points when I put together that I feel like I've just completely stole off them. So it's not too blatant, but they're a really big reference point for me.
I don't think it's blatant at all. There's sometimes certain tones of guitar parts that I can see the reference to, but I don't think it's enough that it would hold up in court. So I think that we're safe. I think we're good in that regard.
Fantastic.
I know that the band recently finished up a run of acoustic dates for this most recent album. How did those shows go?
Oh, that was so much fun. They're pretty chaotic because Tyler's been living in Melbourne because he's, I'm not sure if you've heard, but his son's quite sick in hospital over there. So we've been separated for a few months. So we didn't get a lot of rehearsal time in, so much so that the first show in Sydney, basically at Soundcheck, was the first time we'd played a few of the songs off the new record together. So it was pretty, we were winging it pretty hard. But I think, I don't know what it is, but those acoustic shows seem to translate really well for us. You got to choose the right songs, but I think stripping them back and when you can kind of listen to either Tom's guitar work or Tyler's lyrics, it really seems to connect with the fans. And with that, we just had a lot of fun as well. We were just making fun of each other and playing stupid covers the entire time. So Friday night show in Melbourne was pretty chaotic. And I was like, oh, I hope that wasn't too loose. But everyone I spoke to said that it was so much fun. It was the best show they've been to. So people seemed to like it.
That's awesome. I'm very glad to hear that. I know, as you mentioned, Tyler is taking, he's obviously got his plate full with a lot going on in his personal life. In terms of, I guess, future shows in support of this album, can we expect some full band shows at some point, possibly in support of the record?
Yeah, definitely. So we've got the Good Things Festival coming up at the end of this year, but we're currently looking to book a full album tour in the new year, I'm guessing around February or March. So, yeah, there will definitely be a full band tour to support.
Beautiful. That sounds fantastic. I do want to very quickly mention, and we won't harp on it too long, but as you said, Tyler and his family are going through a bit of a difficult time at the moment. I'm not wanting to get into the specifics of it, but I know that there was a GoFundMe page set up, I believe. I think that has now stopped, but is there any way for anyone who's listening to this podcast and does love yourself, does love the band and Tyler and his family, any way that they can kind of support?
Yeah, in a selfish way, go and buy the new record and come to a show. It was really great at the acoustic show. I think people are a little bit wary of bringing it up with Tyler, but, he really appreciated people coming up and saying, we're thinking of you. And that's all he needs, is just people to show their gratitude and love for him. So, just listen to the record and say good day when you see us, I think.
Look, we can definitely help support that. We will make sure that there are links within the show notes for people to be able to go and buy The World Don't Owe You Anything, whether that be the record, some merch, T-shirt, anything. As you said, all help support. Patrick, usually we ask our guests what they're currently listening to. Is there anything at the moment that is kind of on high rotation for yourself?
Yeah, I've been getting into a few records a lot lately. I'm really loving the new Slow Pulp album. I'm not sure if you've heard that. I think the whole thing only came out on Friday, but they'd kind of released a few songs leading up to that. That's really cool. Been digging the new Fiddlehead record. That's really great. It's kind of a throwback to some of the punk rock I used to listen to, 10, 15 years ago. So I love how that sounds. The new Movements record, I think, is really interesting and quite progressive. And then I've been listening to quite a lot of Zach Bryan. So I've been really loving that new Zach Bryan record, which is, I don't know, he's like so popular. So I think I should hate that record, but it's just really, really good.
That record, honestly, we've had not an odd cross-section, but it seems that anyone from any genre kind of they'll give out a few different takes, and then that one seems to be one that touches so many different people. So yeah, I'm not surprised. It is a fantastic record, so yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. I really dig it.
Patrick, thank you so much for sharing that, and thank you again for coming onto the podcast. I do appreciate it. As mentioned, we'll put all the links in the show notes on where people can buy The World Don't Owe You Anything. But yeah, thank you again for coming on.
No worries. Thanks very much, Simon.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.